This is Emerson versus Cook.
Cook versus Emerson.
Oh, come on. I thought we decided.
Okay, fine. I'm Natalie Cook.
And I'm Saya Emerson. And thanks for listening to our podcast about films.
Well, let's be honest. It's going to be mostly us laughing and a little bit about films.
We're going to try and keep it together for you, though.
Thanks for listening.
to start off our first, very first go at this podcast.
We picked a classic.
We're going to read a scene for you. From a classic film.
Yeah, the Bad Seed.
Starring Patty McCormick as Rhoda. And,
Wasn't she in that role on,
On Broadway.
On Broadway, and then for, like, the rest of her life.
For many...
So for, like, 37
for
years,
all of her childhood years, she played Rhoda and then did the movie, so she really knew this part very well. So this scene...
The best scene.
This scene is, one of the... First scenes between Rhoda and Leroy, who is the groundskeeper at the apartment complex.
Leroy, played by David Carradine in the 1985 version, is what I just found out.
Oh, I didn't know there was a 1985 version.
Oh, yeah. Has Lynn Redgrave in it.
Oh, we gotta watch that.
Like that shit? Okay. Yeah. Not All nearly right. as good. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Rhoda is just having a nice little tea party out in the sunny backyard of her apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And Leroy is cleaning up around her. And
skagging around.
And teasing her in his kind of gross, predatory, semi-retarded way. And his is really an Oscar-worthy performance. That
Yeah.
I'm going to try and do justice to. But, you know, I'm not a 40-year-old man. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. So, okay. Let's cue to it.
Okay. There she is with her little table, playing with her little dishes, looking cute and innocent. Looking like she wouldn't melt butter, she's that cool. Well, she can fool some people with that innocent look she can put on and off whenever she wants, but not me. Not even part way she can't fool me. Don't want to talk to nobody smart, huh? Like to talk to people she can fool, like her mama and Miss Breedlove and Mr. Emery.
Here's some Excelsior for you. You talk silly all the time. I know what you do with the Excelsior. You make a bed of Excelsior down the basement behind that old furnace, and you sleep there where nobody can see you.
I've been way behind the times heretofore, but now I got your number, miss.
Whoa, again. We gotta stop it. Heretofore.
Heretofore. That is from the movie. All right, I'm going to start that one again. I've been way behind the times heretofore, but now I've got your number, miss. I've been hearing things about you that ain't nice. I've been hearing you beat up that poor little I've been hearing you beat up that poor little Claude Dago boy in the woods, and it took all three of the Fern sisters to put you off him. I heard you run him off the wharf. He was that scared.
You tell lies like that, you won't get to heaven when you die.
I heard plenty. I listen when people talk, not like you gab, gab, gabbing all the time, won't let anyone get a word in edgewise. That's why I know what people are saying, and you don't.
People tell lies all the time, but I think you tell them more than anybody else.
I know what you done to that little boy when you got him out on that wharf. You better listen to me if you want to stay out of bad trouble.
What did I do if you know so much?
You picked up a stick and you hit him with it. You hit him with it because he wouldn't give you that medal like you told him to. I thought I seen some mean little gals in my time, but you're the meanest. You want to know how mean you are? Because I'm mean. I'm smart and I'm mean. And you're smart and you're mean. And you never get caught and I never get caught.
I know what you think. I know everything you think. Nobody believes anything you say.
You want to know what you done after you hit him? You jerked that medal off his shirt, and then you rolled that sweet little boy off the wharf among them pilings.
You don't know anything. None of what you said is true.
You know I'm telling the gospel truth. You know I got it figured out.
You figured out something that never happened, and so it's all lies. Now take your Excelsior down to the basement and put it where you can sleep on it where you're supposed to be working.
You ain't no dope, that I must say. That's why you didn't leave that stick around where nobody could find it. Oh, no, you got better sense than that. You took that bloody stick and you washed it off real good, and you threw it in the woods where nobody could find it.
I think you're a very silly man.
It was you was silly thinking you could wash blood off, and you can't.
Why can't you wash off blood?
Because you can't, and the police know it. You can wash and you can wash, and there's always some left. Everybody knows that. I'm going to call the police, and I'm going to tell them to start looking for them stick in that woods. They got what they call stick bloodhounds to help them look. And then... I knew this part would be hard. They got what they call stick bloodhounds to help him look, and them stick bloodhounds can find any stick there is that's got blood on it. And they bring that stick you wash off so good, the police are gonna sprinkle some special blood powder they got on it. That little boy's blood is gonna show up on that stick, gonna show up a pretty blue color like a robin's egg.
You're scared about the police yourself. What you say about me is all about you. They'll get you with that powder.
And at this point, Rhoda's mother calls from the window. Rhoda? Rhoda, what is that Leroy saying to you, Rhoda? Because her mother
always
is this
on a verge.
Weak-willed.
Verge of a nervous breakdown every moment of every day. Do you think of Rhoda as maybe one of the penultimate horror movie children of evilness?
Well, she's in that vein, right, of the blonde, the evil blonde
right,
children, which
right.
is a definite trope.
Uh-huh.
Children of the Corn. And,
oh, yeah.
Poltergeist.
Isaac. Yeah.
You know, there is something strange about, you know, well, this is what I was going to talk about with... the idea of the uncanny, which is something that we find familiar and often cute, when that is turned creepy,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as is the case with many dolls in horror movies,
yeah,
children's
definitely.
Toys, anytime that happens, it's a really easy kind of scare to get.
Definitely.
Because it's something that, you know, wasn't creepy that we loved before that now has turned on its
head. Whereas I think, and I know from my own personal experience with children, that they can be sociopathic little bastards. Just on
yeah,
their own. And
yeah.
I feel like that...
They're halfway there already.
Yeah, they're already there. And
yeah.
I don't want to say that they're amoral because I feel like they know there's consequences, but they just don't give a shit. Like, some kids...
No, I think they're learning that there are consequences.
They're learning that are consequences, but some children have no qualms about, you know, plucking the wings off of a butterfly.
Right.
Or setting a frog on fire, which I've actually seen happen growing up.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah, the frog was placed on a radio-controlled car and then set on fire.
Did your brothers do this?
No, their friends did it. And,
oh.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was really great because I had that wholesome memory of, like, going down into the sand pits is what we called it.
Sand pits?
Sand pits and collecting the frogs because we like to do that and collect bullfrogs and tadpoles and all the other
uh-huh.
things and such. And then having this, like, boon of catching these frogs, which is always a great experience, and that's a wholesome memory.
Right.
And then immediately
followed by... I can imagine you
and
your... In your clam diggers.
Yeah.
In your clam digger overalls.
Oh, boy.
With a...
You just picture my childhood as Scout.
I do.
From To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, sand pits. I did not play in any sand pits as a child. The closest I ever got was maybe a quarry.
But I
did the magnifying glass and the ants.
Oh, wow.
On the
worst terrorizing
porch.
I ever did to ants is I messed up their pheromone trail. And, you know, you can slide a finger through their pheromone trail and then the ants will get confused. They won't know where to go because they
well,
follow by the trail.
That's kind of a subtle and
that's
educated
all I got.
Way of torturing an animal, isn't it?
Well, I guess I'm
that's
just
like,
subtle and educated.
That's like staring down a dog. You know, you just like staring it in the eye until it just goes and turns away from you. That's just being a jerk because you're smarter than the animal.
Well, so you're trying to tell me that is worse?
No, it's
than
better.
Lighting them ablaze?
It's much better. But you know that that whole torturing animals thing is a definite one of the main signs of
a sociopath.
Yeah.
Correct. We could talk a little bit more about horror movie children.
Okay. So what do you think about Damien in The Omen? Like,
just
no.
this plotting, waiting for when he can actually ultimately kill his mother by running her down in the stairwell with his Red Ryder wagon? Is that
yeah.
how Damien did it with his mom? Who was, what, cleaning the chandelier at the time? or watering the plants.
Oh, that watering mansion? Are you kidding me? What is that, a five-story? She dropped five stories to the floor.
She stopped screaming, I think, in the middle of the fall.
She had time to comprehend.
Fuck, what's going on?
The satanic relationship that her child had with the devil itself.
The nanny devil. Then that nanny, whoever that woman was, I can't remember the actress. Perfect demonic face, just already on her natural.
I like Pet Sematary.
Yeah, Gage. Yeah. He's pretty much on my top because I was thinking about this earlier and I was like, you know, and what's really creepy is that that child actor looks exactly like my brother when he was a child.
And he's young enough.
Yeah.
Where the idea of like a little kid who you could just, if he was evil, you could just kick him and he would just fly. You know, like he's, Rhoda's got some meat on her bones, the bad seed. She could really come up from behind and push you down the stairs, but Gage is just.
He's just
a little squirt, you know?
He's just a little chicken nugget.
But do you remember the scene in that movie with, I don't remember if it's like the aunt. Who is it that has scoliosis?
Oh, God.
Do you remember this part?
No. Okay, no, I just remember the old groundskeeper, whoever that man was.
I was watching this movie with my cousin, and that part came on. And, you know, I'm all like, oh, yeah, I can watch any horror movie, whatever. I never get scared. I ain't scared of shit, you know, when we're probably like 12 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We see this part of this movie, and we both go running from the room. Because it's like, it's one of those classic parts in a horror movie where someone's lying in a bed and you can't see them.
Oh.
And then they turn around towards the camera and they're just horrifying. And they make some, you know, they scream at you or something. Yeah. But I remember that happened. And then we crept back into the room and her face was frozen on the screen. She was, and in my memory, she has like a green tinge to her skin. You know, this could all just be a dream. I don't even know if that's from that movie, but I think it was from Pet Sematary.
I don't remember that from Pet Sematary.
Okay, well, I will find it, and I will tell you what movie it's from.
Just
it's
frozen on the screen. And
and then, of course, you know, we watched it a few times, because there's something about taking the edge off that thing that scares you so bad.
Right, right.
You want to watch it and figure out,
like Large Marge and Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, there's so many scenes that were just like, the first time you saw it, you were just like, never again. And then you go back and you watch it and watch it, and you're like, oh, I see what they did there. That was an effective kind of,
yeah,
like,
you know, I often have that thought. I had that thought when I was 12 years old watching horror movies. Oh, I see what they did there. That was an effective scare tactic.
Hey,
Stephen King.
Gotta figure it out sometime.
Just let me just comprehend these complex thoughts at 12 years old.
Did you ever, like, hit another child? Do you have, like, a memory of getting into fights?
I have. I beat up two girls in my life before the age of 10, maybe 12.
Wow. And see, I was always the tallest one in my class up until fifth grade when a beautiful, tall British girl came to my school.
Was she blonde, Saya? Who's her? What happened there?
No, because she was beautiful and British. Are you kidding me? And isn't it weird to think back now on thinking someone was beautiful when you were 9?
Yeah. Well, I think only girls have this problem. And this reminds me of Bette Davis and
she's
amazing.
Yeah.
And then Baby Jane, which is interesting because she's sort of that person, like almost not like Leroy, but definitely somewhat stuck having lived the best years
Baby
of her life as
That's
a child.
One.
But that movie I felt was just hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Through and through.
Yeah. Well, anytime you serve someone a platter that's covered up. And then the platter gets uncovered.
Yeah. Boiled rats.
It's just like, it's such a setup. I love it. And the person's like, ooh, what's it going to be?
Yeah,
evil,
you know,
sister?
Joan Crawford. Really?
A delicious pot roast?
Yeah.
No.
Like, you needed to GTFO from that house so long ago. Your sister, the pancake makeup, she's wearing the old dress.
Yep.
What'd you think? Shit was cool? What were you thinking? I'm in a wheelchair. I'm infirm.
And then the end. What happens at the end? She's on the beach eating the ice cream cone?
Really? I don't remember the end. I just remember the awesome bits in the middle.
The end is kind of poetic, actually. Because she's Isn't it? Isn't it?
I was just remembering the end of Bad Seed.
What happens in the end
of Bad
Seed?
Well, it seems like it's poetic because the mom is giving Rhoda the sleeping pills. And she's like, oh, right. Take these. She's like, it's so many, mother. She's like, they're a new kind of vitamin. You need to eat 50 of them. And so she gives them to Rhoda. She's like, I'll have some myself. And you're like, oh, she's going to take the sleeping pills too. And she wanders off and shoots herself in the head. And you think, this is the end. That's kind of poetic, I guess, whatever. And then it cuts to the next scene. It's just like...
Oh, and Rhoda doesn't die.
Doesn't die, but Neither does the mother. Right. The mother has all the bandaging around her head, and of course she still has wonderful makeup on. And Rhoda's at home, and she just wants to get that medal from the pylons on the bridge where her mother said that she dropped that stupid fucking medal that she's just going to bludgeon a child to death for. So she's out there in the rain in her little galoshes. She looks very sweet, and she's even like putting like a stick against the fence as she's walking. Then she gets down there. She's like just digging around with a flashlight and a net in the fucking storm, looking in water. That makes sense. And then out of nowhere, just a lightning bolt comes from the sky.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It just completely demolishes the end of the pier.
She gets smited.
Yeah, by the Lord above. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, children. Like now, I feel like they started with like a really controversial ending and were like, ooh, maybe not this one. They need to still live. Like, let's make it a little bit, I don't know what's the word, but like, yeah, like.
Judgment from on high.
Yes, yes. Not a mother who killed her child and suicide.
Oh man, that's a strange, strange plot.
Thanks for listening to Cook versus Emerson.
That's Emerson versus Cook, actually.
Uh-huh.